Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcoming our friend John Glennon from the Nashville Post. John, good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you all?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. John, we were discussing DeAndre Hopkins a little bit earlier on the show. Obviously, it was rumored that he was available via trade for a few months, and now he's been released by the Arizona Cardinals and is out there and available for all 32 teams should they choose to pursue him. How much consideration, if you were Mike Vrabel and the Titans, would you give to going after DeAndre Hopkins? And also flip it around on, if you're Hopkins, like, how much would the Titans be appealing to?
That might be the bigger of the two questions, actually. You know, I think if you're the Titans, you certainly have to at least get involved. I think you at least have to, you know, see what the asking price is, kick the tires, see the health situation. You know, I think Mike Vrabel was very clear at the draft when asked about, you know, the fact that they didn't take a wide receiver until the seventh round, you know, and he was kind of asked, how does this room improve going forward? You know, he said that you know, free agency goes all the way up until the, you know, till the start of the season almost. Well, you know, here's your opportunity on the free agent market, right? It's not every day that a DeAndre Hopkins talent gets dropped in on the free agent market in the middle of the off season. So, you know, given the state of the Titans wide receiver room, you know, the lack of experience and the lack of production, you know, proven track record, I think you have to get involved. On the other hand, as you mentioned, if you're DeAndre Hopkins and you've kind of got your pick of plenty of teams to go to, I can't imagine that the Titans are really too high on the list right now. You know, I mean, this is an offense that was 30th overall last year, passing offense that was 30th last year. You know, if you're the Titans, maybe your wild card is that Tim Kelly, the offensive coordinator here, was the offensive coordinator with Hopkins in Houston. Had some big numbers there, and it certainly he has presumably a Mike Vrabel relationship too, because both were in the Texans organization. So maybe those are your wild cards, but I'm not sure that would carry too much weight if you're DeAndre Hopkins, a veteran guy who's probably looking to be on a Super Bowl contender right away. You know, he may choose to look elsewhere. It would be my guess, but we'll see.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. I mean, I think it'd be a tough sell to get him. I think he, you know, the PED thing, the injury thing, his age. I mean, I just feel like he's another one of those guys who is about to take a big downturn and maybe is already in the middle of it. But I'm with you. I mean, I think you have to at least explore the options given the state of the receiver room. Also, John, you've got the Raiders and the Jimmy G situation. Do you think any calls may be made from there to here about a quarterback?
Any calls may be made from
Mark Davis's
from the Raiders
general
office. Yeah.
Yes.
I guess it's always a possibility, you know, but I'm not sure if I see the Titans room moving, you know, changing too much going into this year. You know, I don't think if the Raiders would be interested in obviously, I guess, in Tannehill, you know, I certainly don't think the Titans are ready to turn over the reins to one of the young guys right away. I don't think that's, you know, what's in the offing, if that's kind of what you're suggesting there. I just see this group as the group going forward for the Titans right now. And to me, the big question is going to wind up being, you know, do you keep three on the roster? Do you keep all three on the roster? Or is Malik Willis, you know, kind of a one-and-done situation here?
John Glennon with us here on Robbie and Rex. So, John, we're through the first part of OTAs. We've got mandatory minicamp coming up soon. And before we know it, training camp will be right around the corner. I know we've not seen them on the field in games yet, but based on what we've heard and what we've seen to this point, how much different do you think this offense could be this year, just stylistically, under Tim Kelly, with him coming in as his first year as offensive coordinator?
Yeah, you know, I think certainly, you know, from what players have said, and you know, it's harder to get a feel for it just based on OTA drills and such that we're seeing, but you know, certainly the players have been pretty adamant and unanimous in the fact that things are moving quicker, that we're seeing more, you know, up-tempo. that there's going to be increased efficiency in the offense. I think that, you know, the verbiage has been cut down, so things are a little bit more streamlined in that regard. So I think that will probably help. You know, I think clearly this offense got bogged down last year, and certainly that's going to help. But, you know, as much as we talk about, you know, new offensive styles and new offensive philosophy and so forth, you know, we still got to make sure what's the personnel going to hold up? What's this offensive line going to look like? You know, obviously pretty much completely revamped from last year. You know, is it going to protect the quarterback? What's the wide receiver situation going to look like going forward? You know, there's not much of a track record there. Are they going to be able to hold up? So, I like the fact that the Titans are upbeat about up-tempo, if you will. But it's not always the system that makes a difference. I think, you're going to have to prove to me that the personnel has been upgraded from last year before I'm ready to say, okay, this is going to be a much better Titans offense than it was last year.
Should Titan fans be concerned about the Kevin Byard situation?
I don't think so. I thought Shane Bowen made a pretty good point the other day, and he said, you know, maybe one of the biggest kind of downsides to not having Kevin Byard there is that, you know, the young guys don't get the benefit of his presence and his leadership there. So I think it does, I would agree with him, it hurts from that standpoint. And from the standpoint, there's not much depth at safety. So, you know, you're looking at guys who could really use Kevin Byard's guidance out there, guys like, you know, Mike Brown and Josh Thompson at safety. You know, they haven't played much at all in the way of defensive snaps in the NFL. And as it stands right now, they're kind of next up behind Byard and Hooker. But he is, you know, Kevin Byard, as we know, is kind of the ultimate professional. Sure, he was ticked off at being asked to take a pay cut, and that's understandable. But I think he is so professional that he's going to come back. You know, whether it's for mandatory mini camp, or whether it's before then, he'll be back. He'll be ready. I think, you know, maybe it's more of a concern not to have a guy like a Christian Fulton out there, after he was kind of called out towards the end of last season. That's not a good start to the offseason to me to not have him up there and doing everything he can with the team.
John, switching gears to the Predators, Elliot Friedman with some comments over the weekend about how there's still no clarity on the John Hines situation, but that he believes the Predators have at least talked with another couple of coaches out there. So when you factor in the whole picture of that report by Friedman and the Predators maybe looking elsewhere and the hesitancy or the refusal of Barry Trotz to, you know, give any clarity to the John Hines situation publicly on whether or not he's going to be back next year, what do you think this all means? What's your best read on the Predators coaching staff and what the future could look like this offseason?
It's becoming an increasingly weird situation, isn't it? In my opinion, I mean, you know, it's been over 5 weeks now since Barry Trotz said John Hines was going to be evaluated. And that's a heck of an evaluation right there. And then it was kind of a vague report from Friedman that you referenced there that believes they've talked to other people. You know, there were no specifics. There was no definitive, terminology there. But, at the same time, to me, okay, if you've done your evaluation of John Hines, either you want him going forward and you say so, because certainly it was left up in the air at the last presser, if you've gone to the step, you know, if these rumors are accurate and they have gone to taking the step of looking at new coaches, we'll move on from John Hines then. If it's clear that he is not your top choice moving forward, you know, cut the cord. I don't like this, the idea. And again, you know, we're kind of taking stabs and speculation here, but the idea that we sort of like you, John Hines, but we sort of like to talk to some other people too, and maybe if it doesn't work out, then maybe we'll be back with you, is kind of the impression that it's given off right now. And that's a weird vibe. I mean, if you end up bringing back John Hines, you know, what kind of leverage, what kind of position of strength is he operating from if everyone believes, you know, players, fans, et cetera, that the organization was looking for somebody else while he was still the head coach? And also, you know, if you're John Hines and you're a young guy with a solid track record, wouldn't you like to be one of the candidates for the other head coaching jobs at this point too? You know, I mean, would you prefer not to be kind of left sort of twisting in the wind for 6 weeks or 2 months, you know, while this coaching search, if you will, goes on? And again, I realize a lot of this is speculation, but the Predators have kind of brought this on themselves because of sort of the lack of clarity into whether John Hines will be returning or not.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Friedman was vague, but based on his track record, he's not uttering a word there if there isn't something to it, right? I mean, I think he's probably just told not to say who.
Right.
But, yeah, now, I'm with you. And I guess if it comes all the way back around and Hines is retained, then I guess he's knows he has to coach his butt off next year, right? I mean, for his future, at least in the league, if not here. But, no, I'm with you. It's very weird. And also, what about the guys on his staff?
Absolutely. Yeah, what's their future? And to me, this kind of strikes me as sort of very un-David Poyle, un-Barry Trotz-esque, if you will. You know, there are a couple of, you know, very classy acts. And to me, again, you know, you make your evaluation of John Hines. If you want him back, then say so. And you know, maybe even if you feel that good about it, give the man a year extension. But if you don't, okay, you can certainly make a case that he is not the guy going forward also. But if that is the case and you are looking around, then move on. Then you know, cut the cord, as they say, and you know, let John Hines, let his staff make plans moving forward instead of this odd sort of never ending, you know, what's gonna happen next situation with the Predators. You know, I guess a couple, you know, certainly one factor that might be coming into play. You know, we know the organization thinks very highly of Carl Taylor, the Milwaukee coach, and they're still involved in the playoffs. And you know, maybe there's a situation there where they want to add Carl Taylor, you know, as an assistant to John's staff moving forward. Maybe they want to have Carl Taylor as the head coach moving forward. I don't know. Maybe that's a factor. That's one of the few factors I can think of as to why nothing has been determined one way or the other, you know, because Carl Taylor is still ongoing in the playoffs. But aside from that, you know, I think it's time to make some kind of a decision here.
It's a very interesting situation, no doubt about that. John, thanks so much for being with us. Hope you had a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks for having me on, guys.
So John Glennon from the Nashville Post, our guest on Robbie and Rexroad. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators coaching situation. We'll play those comments from Elliot Friedman over the weekend as well. Coming up next, you're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Thanks to John Glennon from the Nashville Post for being with us in the last segment, and a lot of really interesting thoughts there from John Glennon. But one thing we referenced was some comments from Elliot Friedman over the weekend. So Elliot Friedman, I believe it was game 5 of the Stars and Knights series, and he did his weekly kind of hit on Hockey Night in Canada where he goes through headlines around the league, and you know, he talked about, you know, the GM search in Toronto and what's going on there, and Kyle Dubas, who was with Toronto, the Pittsburgh job is apparently his if he wants it. Talked about Peter Laviolette probably becoming the next head coach of the New York Rangers this week, so got into a lot of different topics. But one thing he brought up was the Predators and their coaching staff. And what exactly is going on with John Hines right now? Here's what Elliot Friedman had to say over the weekend on Sportsnet.
In Nashville, we still don't have clarity on John Hines' situation there, but I do believe the Predators have talked to some other potential coaches. I think some people would like to see just Hines get some clarity here on what his future is, but I think the Predators have looked elsewhere.
So Friedman saying that he thinks the Predators have looked elsewhere and that they've talked to some other coaches throughout this whole thing. So obviously, Joe, there's the original comments from Trotz at the press conference where he talked about Hines being evaluated. He was on our show a few weeks later and basically kind of repeated the answer about John Hines being evaluated. And that at that point was, I think, almost a month after the original press conference had taken place. And here we are over the weekend, Friedman reporting that he believes that the Predators have spoken with other coaches and that they've looked elsewhere outside of John Hines. So what do you make of this whole situation and what this means for John Hines and what this means for the Predators in terms of where they're at with the coaching staff moving forward?
I feel like really soon here some word needs to come down. You know, like Glenn laid it out. I mean, it's at this point, go ahead and move on and get into a coaching search. And like John said, let John be. And I suppose he could be a candidate for another job right now. You know, we talked earlier in the show. Is John Hines is he in the recycling club of this league?
I don't think so.
I don't think he's, you know, that group of coaches, all of them have some kind of postseason success on their resume. They have much longer careers than him, too. So, I don't, you know, is he going to get another NHL head coaching job? I don't know. I wouldn't rule it out. I'm sure if you're him, you'd love to at least be out there right now as opposed to wondering what your situation is going to be. I can't imagine we're going to get through this week without some clarity on this.
I would be surprised. I mean, the Stanley Cup final starts Saturday. So, I mean, we're getting close to the time where coaching movement around the league starts to go. I mean, the smoke is that Peter Laviolette's going to be the next head coach of the Rangers. And I would expect that to happen at some point this week if things continue to track well there. So once you start to see, you know, one coach get hired, usually that kind of speeds up the process after that. So we'll see what happens there. But it's a really, as John laid out in the last segment, it's a really kind of strange situation right now with the Predators and John Hines. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bob in Antioch. Bob, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. I like John Hines. It doesn't matter to me whether – it would not bother me if he stayed as coach. It seems like, though, they're going to move on based on what they're not saying. But I wanted to say that after the trade deadline, I became much, much more interested in the team than I had been before. I don't
know. I think we may have lost Bob.
No, Bob's back.
Bob, we lost you there for a second. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I was just going to say that I don't think they're going to make the playoffs next year, but they're a lot more fun to watch, and I'm much more invested in the team. That's just, you know, my take on it. I do think they're going to move on from Hines, although I like it.
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. I mean, it's the writing on the wall tells me, Joe, that they're trying to move on from John Hines. Now, I guess the interesting situation is what happens if you get through this, if you're Trotz and the Predators, and say they are talking to other coaches, and for whatever reason it doesn't work, whether that's a Spencer Carberry or an Andrew Brunette or whatever. Like, what do you do then? Like, are you just bringing John Hines back? Do you move on and make Carl Taylor the head coach at that point? Like, what do you do at this point if you're Barry Trotz and the Predators and whatever your plan A is, assuming it's not Carl Taylor, doesn't work out?
I don't know. Do you have a plan A?
I don't know.
I don't know. But I know that Wayne's saying Poyle refuses to fire Hines as long as he's a GM. Wayne, Barry Trotz is a guy. Barry right. Trotz came on the show, talked about it. He did not say, well, Robbie, I'm going to wait and see what David Poyle says to do. Right. Barry Trotz, this is his team moving forward. This is his decision. Poyle is staying around to help. So, I mean, even Glennon was like, you know, this is not like Poyle and Poyle and Trotz. I mean, to me, this is Barry Trotz right now. He's running the situation.
He's running the situation, and – You know, we talked a couple weeks ago about Carl Taylor. Like, I do think there is a chance that Carl Taylor, if he's not the head coach of the Predators next year, will be on the staff. Like, I think there is a chance that he will be an assistant coach. Maybe that's with John Hines' staff. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's with a different staff. I don't know. But, like, there's also, like, you know, Caleb from Gallatin floated this out there. He said, you know, this could be a dumb theory, but what if Trotz wants Hines on the coaching staff, just not as the head coach?
That'd be interesting.
You're not doing that in the NHL. Like, if it's
has that ever happened before?
I don't believe so. If you're ready to move on from the head coach, he's not hanging around on the staff. I mean, it would just be kind of awkward.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you just kind of want to avoid that if you're a general manager.
Right. Yeah. No, that's like the player owner. I mean, maybe it did happen, like with an original six team right. in 1947.
Right.
But yeah, that wouldn't be it. And the Carl Taylor thing, I mean, Glennon brought that up too. It was like, I mean, I understand that they're playing right now. But like you said earlier, I mean, you could still.
Yeah, I mean, if he wanted, if he.
Say something.
I'm not saying that Carl Taylor is absolutely not their head coach, because maybe that's who they want. But if they want him, like, you don't have to wait until Milwaukee's done in the playoffs to.
The Admirals are going to be like, oh my God, I can't play. Carl is. Yeah, we don't want to mess up the Admirals. They are by far the most important Nashville sports team in Milwaukee.
You've got to. You know, if that's what your plan is, you can do that. You can go ahead and do it. It's really interesting to me how this has gone down, because like if you're John Hines, you can't feel good about this. There's no way you're looking around like now saying, yeah, I feel great about my job security. Like, it just feels like the Predators are looking elsewhere. But again, I keep coming back to whatever their plan A is, what if it doesn't work? And John Hines, he's got one more year left on his deal. Do you bring him back? I mean, we've talked about this, but like, if, from Hines' perspective, it's not like he's going to turn down the job. Like, you'll come back and you'll do it, and you'll do the best job you can, and maybe that leads to an extension with the Predators. Maybe that leads to a better opportunity elsewhere. Who knows? But it is interesting, like, the, you know, John brought up the players in the room, right? What's the message to them if they get through this whole offseason and it comes out the Predators, like, tried to go get two or three other guys and didn't work, and they ended up back with John Hines? Like, what are the players in the locker room thinking about that? Like, oh, hey, man, good to be back with you.
Right.
They tried to fire you, but didn't work.
Right, sure, exactly. And I like Hines, it's another opportunity. So, I mean, to me, it's like you swallow your pride and you do everything you can do. But, yeah, it doesn't help his standing in the locker room. Wayne, I'm assuming you're trolling me. I'm going to assume, Wayne, that you are trolling me right now. He says, you missed my point. Poyle will not allow Trotz to announce Hines is firing until July 1st. Yeah, so the draft happens and all this stuff. They've hired another coach. And then now on July 1st, you can announce it. You have to have –
I don't think it's
July 1st? Like, you have to know – everyone has to know who your coach is way before that.
I mean, guys,
again, good troll if it's a troll.
July 1st is the opening day of free agency. Like, if you're going to sign free agents, they probably need to – they want to know who the coach is they're playing for.
Seems like coach input might help with the draft,
there's,
too.
There's that, I mean, too.
Coaches do have input on players.
I mean, we're getting close to the point where something's going to have to happen, right? I mean, it's – like I said, the Stanley Cup final is later this week. You're going to see coaching movement around the league start to pick up. Look, maybe Barry Trotz – I brought this up earlier. Maybe he loves a Gerard Gallant, right? Maybe he said, you know what? I did not expect Gerard Gallant to be available. He got fired by the Rangers after the first round. I think he's a really good coach. I want to talk to him. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's one of these younger guys like a Carberry or a Brunette that we've talked about. I don't know. But something, we're getting close to the point. We're less than a month away from the draft. Like, the coaching part of this has to be figured out soon, if it's not already.
How often, I'm trying to think, how many situations can you think of where there were, you know, behind-the-scenes conversations when a coach kind of in limbo, you know, and like you did, you put the cart before the horse, you know?
Yeah. I can't think of really any off the top of my head.
I mean, there's always like, you know, there's always meddling and, you know, what's the word that's eluding me?
Tampering?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
That happens all the time. But this is just kind of a weird one. It's got to be resolved this week. Hines's situation has to be resolved this week.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue to take your thoughts on this. What do you make of the John Hines situation and the report over the weekend from Elliott Friedman that he believes the Predators have spoken with other coaches? 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Make sure you check out this week's Nashville's Best Deal. It's Central Barbecue in Hillsborough Village. Central Barbecue is a slow-cooked Memphis-style barbecue restaurant where their motto is "Smoke is our sauce." Go to thegamenashville.com/deals for half off a $30 gift card to Central Barbecue today. That made me hungry.
That does sound good. You know, maybe Barry Trotz is just, he has a work ethic at the level of a Jared Stillman who evaluates how many times someone touches their face.
Same
and then
same.
Goes back and watches other press conferences about how many times they touch their face. If you evaluate to that level, if you have that level of work ethic, maybe he's going
takes
back.
Takes longer.
Maybe he's going back and looking at all John Hines' mannerisms in every game.
We're starting a hashtag.
Body language means a lot.
He doesn't talk about his work ethic, though, so.
That's true.
Who Barry trusts?
Yeah.
Did you stick a shot at Jared?
No.
Oh, it's about time.
Yeah, get in there. This is a hashtag Barry's film room?
Who knows? I mean, hey, man, I don't know what all goes into an evaluation. It's only been several weeks.
It's only been a month and a half since they played a hockey game.
Very weird.
Well, the other thing to keep in mind here is public information is one thing, and what they do behind closed doors is another thing. And I was kind of joking about this a second ago off the air, but this is the way, you know, we've talked about Poile and obviously his connection with Trotz and all that. Trotz also spent some time with Lou Lamoriello, and this is kind of the way Lou Lamoriello does things. He does not want anything out there at all. And sometimes it gets out there, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, Lou Lamoriello doesn't even like it when, like, the terms of player contracts get out there. So I say all that to say public information and what we know is one thing. Conversations that may have already taken place with other coaches and or John Hines is another. I have no idea what Barry Trotz has already decided or not decided.
I mean, a couple weeks ago, and we kind of joked about it, but it was like, what if Hines just already knows? Like, they've already told me, yeah, you're good, man. I'm just not telling these idiots. Like, I actually could have bought that a couple weeks ago,
yeah.
But I don't. That's not the case.
No.
John Hines is twisting in the wind
right now. Well, at some point, you reach a point where the outside noise becomes a thing, and you're doing your coach a disservice to not say something.
I think we're about there.
Yeah. So if your plan was to bring him back, like you probably should have said something by now, would be my guess. So that doesn't mean that he's not coming back. But to your point earlier, like Elliot Friedman, and he joins Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace every week. He's one of the best in the business. Like, he doesn't just throw stuff out there. He's getting information from somewhere that is valid information. And if he says that he believes the Predators are talking to other coaches, then I believe the Predators are talking to other coaches.
Right. He's been told by someone reliable that they've talked to other coaches. And so we're already at the point right there when he says that, you're already at the point to some extent with what you talked about, which is, you know, John Hines now in that locker room, everyone kind of knowing that, you know, he was at least on the brink. He was at least considered for a change. Yeah, ultimately, you're going to be a professional. You got to do your job. Like, if you're Ryan Johansson, you're not so much concerned about the coach. You're concerned about coming into camp and trying to not let a young guy take your spot.
Right. I mean,
you know, it's pro sports. And if you're John Hines, again, if you get another opportunity, you quickly move past what you feel like right now, which probably isn't great, and you just do your job as well as you can do it. But it's still not a great message, right?
It's not. We talked about this earlier too, though. But it's interesting, and I think it's more interesting if the Rangers job is gone. So, like, if it's true that Peter Laviolette is going to be the next coach of the Rangers, well, then you look around the league, and Anaheim is open, and Calgary's open, and Columbus is open, and obviously none of those teams are very good. Now, Calgary is kinda in the same spot that you are in terms of they have talent. They have some veteran guys that have won before. So maybe Calgary is not a good example. But, like, stacking the Predators' job up against some of these other openings, if, in fact, they're moving on. Like, if you are a Spencer Carberry and the Rangers' job is off the table and Peter Laviolette's going to be the coach, where does the Predators' job rank in terms of the attractiveness of it based on some of these other jobs that are out there and available?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. And
you could make the case it's pretty high.
So, like Carver would be a guy that I would not expect. I mean, the Rangers are right. Like, let's get someone who's won a cup because they are good enough to do it, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess if you're him, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people look at that job and have that real high on their list. So, that's a good question. Has it been Carberry all along? And it's like trying to see if you can wait it out and still get him, and then you'll fire John Hines?
I mean, it's he's still out there. And I can't imagine, you know, Washington's open too. And we've talked about, you know, Friedman put it out there, or was it Drager? One of the two put it out there a couple weeks ago that Washington had spoken with Carberry. And I think Anaheim had spoken with Carberry. Like, the Predators were not on that list of the teams that had spoken with him. So whether it's him or someone else, I just wonder, like, if you get into a spot where you're in a bidding war with somebody and you want, whether it's Carberry or Burnett or whoever, but so do the Ducks, or so do the Flames. Like, beyond the money part of it, the attractiveness of the job, where do the Predators rank? Because, I mean, with the goaltending they have, with some of the young players they have, the picks they have, like you could make a case that maybe they're the best of the bunch in that job.
Yeah, you don't love the aging core. You don't love some of the deals that are going to hurt down the road. You worry about like a Forsberg. I mean, Forsberg and Yossi, concussion stuff. I mean, they're, you know, Johansson, Duchesne. You know, it's not perfect.
No.
But there are some good young players. There's cap space coming. There's tons of draft capital. After David Poile dropped the mic on his way out, said, thank you, Ronnie Hextall.
Yes.
And Barry, you're allowed to do something on July 1st. Until then, no. Yes. Because I made these awesome trades, I get to be GM until July 1st. But I mean,
the thing is, like, if Hextall held on to his job in Pittsburgh, maybe if you're Poile, you just wait around. Like, you can start making trades again by the time the draft comes around. You could have just been like, I got a few more trades with Ron to make, Barry, before you officially take over. Hold on.
Yeah. Sid and Malkin for Colton Sissons.
Yes.
Cap space issue, but, you know.
You make it work.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just I feel like we're getting close to something happening, and the more I read the writing on the wall, I just – it's hard for me to imagine John Hines being the coach next year at this point.
I think you're right. So just do it.
That's the thing. I mean, I guess the other – like, I don't buy the Carl Taylor part of this. Like, John brought that up too. John Glennon did. Like, if that was going to be your move, then just go ahead and fire John Hines. Like, what are you keeping him around for? Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, if you know that's the move, you know he's taking the job.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can move on, and then people can speculate about who you may be talking to, and you can let them know or not, but whatever. You know who your coach is going to be. So now Hines is out there, can make, you know, can look for his next job. His staff, they can look for their next job, and everybody moves on.
Yeah. So the Carl Taylor part of this, like if that was going to be the move, like then I don't know why you're holding on to John Hines at this point. It screams to me, outside candidate, that maybe they're not 100% sure they're going to get at this point, and that's why they've not done anything with John Hines.
So let's say, you know, they decide to, which I think at this point is the reasonable thing, move on, hoping they get the outside candidate.
Right.
Okay, so they don't get him. Is it the worst? I mean, this happens. Sometimes teams fire a coach and they want to hire a certain coach, don't get the coach, go to plan B, go to plan C.
Mm-hmm.
Is it so important that you have Hines as a fallback next year?
I don't think so.
You know, like, I mean, go through the process of trying to hire the next coach if you're not sure about him.
That's the thing. Like, to me, if you've determined he's not the guy, then you can just go find another coach. Like, if your evaluation, if you walked away from it, if you're Barry Trotz and you said, yeah, you know, I don't think John Hines is the right guy for this job. Well, then why would you keep him around after that? Like, I get the idea of, he's got one more year left on his deal. He's been an NHL head coach before. And look, there's a world that I think this could absolutely be the case where Barry Trotz thinks that John Hines is probably a pretty good coach, but it's time to make a change. Okay, well, if it's time to make a change, your ability or inability to get another coach does not change the fact that it's time to make a change at that point to me.
Yeah, unless he thinks he's the right-ish guy for the job.
Right-ish.
So yeah. Plan A, yes, I'd prefer him. But other than that, anybody else out there, I'd prefer Hines.
I mean, it could be.
More we talk about it, the weirder it all seems.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe that's it.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the John Hines situation with the Predators. We'll look ahead to the regional action coming up with Tennessee and Vanderbilt starting this weekend. And the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals are set after last night as well. We'll get into all that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Regional action is set, Joe Rex Road. Vanderbilt, first off, congratulations to the Doors. They win the SEC tournament over the weekend, so they win their third SEC tournament under Tim Corbin, first one in 07, second one in 19, and then again this year, winning over the weekend. And they are hosting the Nashville Regional, obviously. Oregon, the 2 seed. Xavier, the 3 seed. Eastern Illinois, the number 4 seed. So no Lipscomb in the Nashville Regional. They will be actually in the Clemson Regional along with Tennessee. Clemson, the 1 seed there. Tennessee at 2. Charlotte at 3. And Lipscomb, the number 4 seed in the Clemson Regional. So what did you make of, number 1, Vanderbilt's performance in the SEC tournament, and number 2, how regional action kind of lays out for both Vanderbilt and Tennessee?
Like you said, this is the third SEC tournament championship under Corbin. Those first two teams were awfully special. The 07 team, you know, David Price, Pedro Alvarez, loaded, lost to Michigan in the regional, but an incredible team. And obviously 2019, dominant national championship team. This is, I think, potentially a special team, but it's a really different kind of special team if it is. Hoover was big for this team. They got some guys going. R.J. Austin, the freshman, second baseman, is the MVP. Chris Maldonado's, Rake and Troy Leneve's hitting big homers. I mean, the lineup all of a sudden has got some bats heated up. And there's a lot of pitching depth they've found too. So that's the big question to me. Don't expect to see Carter Holton this weekend for sure. Hunter Owen is back, and then Devin Fittrell, you know, those two are your top two starters. After that, you know, there's a lot of guys who can, you have a good closer, and then you got a lot of arms, you know, that you're going to need to make work for you. I mean, like, you get to a super, and I think if you still don't have Holton, if you have Fittrell, Owen, they both give you good performances, boom, there you go. You know, in this situation, if you have a bad day, you know, you really get into that pitching depth. But look, they're at home, and I think they're set up to go to Omaha. I mean, I think they're, you know, they have definitely a better chance than the Vols to go to Omaha. But the Vols are, Clemson can't be happy about the Vols going to see them, man.
Vols are starting off on the road. There are 8 SEC teams hosting a regional. Tennessee's not one of them. But they are starting on the road in the Clemson regional. And Tennessee has, at least in my opinion, started to figure things out a little bit lately, but specifically with their pitching. And that's, heading into the season, that's why they were ranked as high as they were, and that's why we thought they could be pretty good, is the arms that they have. And especially this time of year, when you get into regional play, super regional play, and the pitching just becomes elevated in its importance. I mean, Tennessee is as equipped as anybody to deal with the pitching part of this. The question for them is, going on the road, can they hit well enough? And can their lineup away from Lindsey Nelson Stadium hit well enough on the road for them to get through the regional, get to the super regional, and ultimately get to Omaha? That's going to be the question for them.
Yeah. And cited this stat earlier, you know, since the season totally flipped with the sweep of Vanderbilt, they are 8-4 in SEC road games. They beat Kentucky and South Carolina in road series. And the pitching, I mean, Dolander last time looked like the number one pick at South Carolina. If he's going to pitch like that, Lindsey has been huge. You know, you got Beam. Chase Burns, you know, of course, he was one of the big reasons they were so highly ranked. And it's just been this wildly up and down sophomore year. He's like their long reliever now. And last time out was really bad. I mean, that blew up on him. But, I mean, he's still got a lot of talent. They got arms galore. And you know, they still have a lot of talent lineup, but obviously they love playing in that home park. You know, you get the – and they're, you know, rely on the long ball team. They've got to be able to, you know, play a little bit different way here. So if they can, though, I mean, I think they got the pitching to absolutely do this. Of course, Clemson, and the next week potentially they would be at Auburn. That's the 13 seed.
Yeah, absolutely. So regional play getting underway between Tennessee and Vanderbilt. And then, Joe, last night both the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals officially set. Starting on the Stanley Cup side of things, Vegas wins 6-0 last night against the Dallas Stars, and they'll take on the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup final. I saw a stat yesterday. Obviously, Vegas has been in the league since 2017. This is their second trip to the Stanley Cup final. That is more than 7 teams in the NHL. I think it's tied with, I think, 5 others is what I saw the stat. So Vegas with some early success. Not very popular with the rest of the NHL with the success that they've had early, but it will be the Golden Knights and the Panthers in the Stanley Cup Final.
It's been an amazing thing for all of America to see Boston completely fall on their face last night, and I think all of America can get behind Vegas not winning a cup, right?
Yes, I think so too. I think there'll be a lot of Florida Panther fans in this Cup Final.
Yes. I mean, I'm all in. I'm all in on Tkachuk and the Panthers getting it done. But, I mean,
Vegas
looked okay last night.
Yeah.
Just absolutely, God, what a bad way for a really good season for Dallas to end.
It's interesting.
Gross.
We had our goaltending conversation, like how important is goaltending really? And, you know, Bobrovsky was the backup heading into the playoffs. And yet he's come in and he's played amazing. Like, he's been unbelievable and justifies the huge salary that they're being paid. So, like, there's the big salary guy on one part of it. And then on Vegas, you know, Brassois went down and Aiden Hill has basically been like their third goalie all year. And now he's got them in the Stanley Cup Final. Yeah. It's just, it's weird how different goaltending is each year in this tournament.
Yeah. This is definitely the year that for people who, you know, take their cues from postseason. And like GMs in the league are a lot more detailed than that. But like, this is not the good year to be like, you really need to go out and sell off a bunch of stuff to get a goaltender.
Yeah. So I think it's gonna be a heck of a series. I don't even know yet who I'm picking to win. I need to look at it a little bit closer, but I'm rooting for the Panthers to win. I can tell you that. So Matthew Tkachuk, I think he's been awesome in the playoffs. I'm looking forward to this Stanley Cup Final coming up. And then last night, my beloved Miami Heat take down the Boston Celtics last night on the road, Game 7. They were up 3-0 in the series, on the verge of completing the most epic collapse in the history of the NBA. And they hold it off last night. They blow out the Celtics on the road, and now we've got the Heat and the Nuggets coming up in the NBA Finals. It was a thrilling game to watch last night, Joe. After Game 6 on Saturday was one of the most sickening experiences as a sports fan I've ever had. I was trying to compare, like, which Tennessee throat punch was that most comparable to. I think I came up with Tennessee LSU back in the day when Dooley sent 25 people on the field to defend that last play. That was the closest one I came up to.
Gosh, there's got to be something.
I mean, there's some doozies to choose from.
Yeah, yeah. That was a crusher because it looked like they were going to come all the way back. Jimmy Butler has a terrible night, but then he hits all three free throws. Like, oh, my gosh, and then that happens, and in the 2 days between that and Game 7, it was nothing but Boston making history and Derek White's shot will go down in Celtics lore and blah, blah, blah. Well, they didn't show up for Game 7. What a beautiful.
The greatest comeback in sports history. Yeah. It was already being called before they even won Game 7.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd love to see some of the like Boston Globe, you know, like sections that were already laid out with like the Celtics and like the 04 Red Sox comparison, all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Just absolutely joyous for all of us to watch them absolutely fall on their faces. Even, for a Heat fan, even more.
Oh, man.
I think for everybody who, outside of Boston, man, what a beautiful thing.
The seventh trip to the NBA Finals for the Heat since 2006, the most in the NBA over that span.
Yeah, he's a pretty good coach. I think people are coming around on that.
People are starting to figure it out. He's pretty darn good. Now, having said that, it's the Heat and the Nuggets, and the Nuggets have been off for what feels like 2 weeks at this point. Game 1 coming up on Thursday. I think the Nuggets are going to win. But I've thought that about a couple different Heat series so far.
Yeah. I didn't think they'd hang with the Bucks. I didn't think they'd hang with the Celtics. So I'm not. I'm hoping we get a great series. But the Nuggets look destined to be the champ. You know, the Heat, though. Caleb Martin. I mean,
the guy's been unbelievable.
Gosh, crazy.
But also, how can you not love Jokic? I've been watching some of
his. Oh, I mean, Nuggets are great. Murray, the way he's playing. Come on, Cavs.
I got Kentucky on both sides, so I'm good either way.
That is true. Bob, and I just want to get to Bob real quick. Okay. He says, be it Tannehill or Hines, you guys worry too much about the disrespect teams are showing them. They have their reasons, and if shared, you'd likely agree. When were we whining about disrespect to Hines? I'm just saying, like, timing-wise, you know, if you're going to fire him, fire him. I'm not worried about disrespect.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this in the Tannehill conversation, too. Like, the guy, he's getting paid $36 million this year. He'll be fine. We're not worried about that.
Exactly. I mean, I don't even – who is – what are you talking about, Bob and East Nashville? You get me all flustered at the end of the show. What is a Tannehill disrespect? He's still under contract. They haven't – right?
No.
I'd say, if anything, they've showed him a lot of respect. A couple years ago, I was like, get rid of Tannehill. opportunity you have, and they still haven't.
Still apparently going to be the starter this year.
Apparently.
He's still going.
Until the Raiders trade for
him. They could extend him.
And then they can sign DeAndre Hopkins.
Your reaction?
Per Titans Facebook.
What's your reaction going to be if we get through this whole saga with Garoppolo and the Raiders and he can't play, and Mark Davis looks around and says, you know what? We got a quarterback. His name's Tom Brady.
I mean, it'd be player owner would be awesome. Someone we asked about player owner. Someone thought that George Halas did that. I have no idea.
That was a long time ago.
I was going to say, I'm sure if he did, he had unfiltered Pall Malls after every series, too.
Hey.
Which
maybe Brady's done that in retirement.
I was going to say, which, speaking of which, Vrabel could pop out there, do a little punt coverage.
What about owner coach?
Hit a couple darts, Vrabel.
Hey, he's caught some touchdowns. They might need that this year.
They might.
Okay, wait. Quickly before we end the show, did you see this stat that Mike Vrabel has the most receiving touchdowns out of anybody on the current Tennessee Titans roster?
That is very good.
Yeah.
Who had that?
I don't know who had it on Twitter. I got to give him credit.
Yeah, we need to give credit to that. It's pretty good.
That's going to do it for us today.
We need to ask him about that tomorrow.
Here on Robbie and Rex Road, Chase Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.